The sermon text is taken from the Gospel of Luke, the 10th chapter, reading from verses 25 through 37. Luke chapter 10, 25 through 37. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he, that is Jesus, said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou that was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he, the lawyer, said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise.
The passage you've just read here in Luke chapter 10, could you please turn your Bible to it? And it tells us about a Jewish lawyer. A Jewish lawyer here is a scribe, an expert in the law of God, as a teacher and interpreter of the law of Moses. Now he came to Jesus asking him a question, but he was a hypocrite because he did not ask it purposely in order to for his own good, you know. According to the word of God here, he's tempting the Lord Jesus Christ. So now his question was asked hypocritically. He kind of trying to show off his knowledge of the word of God. And he went to the Lord Jesus Christ and he said, what is Jesus Christ, how can he inherit eternal life? He says, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, the word inherit is very interesting because the word inherit means that you don't have to work for it, isn't it? It's something that you receive. Somebody gave it to you and you received freely. And so he asked a very good question. He said, yes, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And so the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew the hearts of men, and said to him, this one thing very wonderful. Jesus Christ asked 2 questions. What is written in the law? How readest thou? So the Lord Jesus knew this man is a scribe, is a lawyer. He knows the word of God. He knows the law of Moses very well. And many times the Lord Jesus Christ answer a question with a question. So you have, if you read the life of Christ, please go through this. Whenever somebody asks you a question here, the Lord Jesus Christ always answer a question with a question. So what is written in the law? And the Jewish lawyer must be very happy. Wow, I know the Lord. So he answered, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, And then he continued, you know, and said, And thy neighbor as thyself. They may love your neighbor as thyself. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, wow, thou hast answered right. After that, what do you do? This do, and thou shalt live. This do, and thou shalt live. Like the lawyer, we are born again Christians. And we have been for some years disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Like the lawyer who knows about the Old Testament, the law of Moses, we who have been Christians for some years, we also know a bit of the Word of God. For some, more. So we have knowledge of the Word of God. And we also know of these two commandments. I'm sure all of us here know these two commandments. Even from a very young Christian, the moment you come to know about the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been taught this, the greatest commandment. What is the greatest commandment of all the commandments of the Word of God? Is this, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy strength, and thy mind. That's the first great commandment. And of course, Jesus Christ also said the second commandment. The second is like unto the first, love your neighbor as thyself. Upon this hang the whole law of God. Now we want to look at the first commandment. That's most important, because when you get the first commandment right, when we love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, our strength, our mind, it will naturally follow the second one. But we must get the first commandment right. The question I like to ask is, we all know we can recite this commandment. But how often do we reflect on this commandment? It's given to us here the four characteristics of a person. The heart, the soul, the strength, the mind. How often have you stopped and meditate on this verse? When I was a young Christian, I know how to recite this. What is the greatest commandment? Palm I go, the love of God with all thy heart and soul and strength and mind. 10 upon 10. Not one time, but every time when I'm asked. Only quite recently did I, in my quiet time, quiet devotion with the Lord, that when I come to this verse again, I begin to think, what does it mean? What does it mean to me? And the question comes up, what does it mean? And what are the practical expressions of this? Loving God with all my heart, with all my soul, and strength and mind. What does it mean in practical terms? I think this is very important, very necessary, because I find only recently that the happenings in the world outside of the kingdom of God and now within the kingdom of God, that this caused me to think, do we really love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, our strength, our might, and love our neighbor as ourselves? If we get the first one correct, right, the second one just follow accordingly. What is it? So let us look here. Now the four characteristics of our character, you'll find that this all pertains to the inward man, nothing to do with the outward man. Everybody is beautiful and handsome and in the outwardly. But important thing is what's the inside here. And so the heart here is the seat of the inward life, ourself, the inward person, his desire. I put it simply, the heart here is his desire, his affection, his will. Alright? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Your desire is for the Lord only. Your affection is for him above everyone else, everything else. And your will is, I want to love him. So get our first one here correctly. Because the Lord Jesus Christ himself says, here, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witnesses. These things defile a man. Out of that heart is. So we are to love the Lord our God with our heart. That is the seat of our desire, our affection, our will. The soul. Love the Lord thy God with all thy soul. I will explain here as the natural self, our own self, as self. This is the part of the emotions, our feelings, the real part, the emotion part, emotional part of ourselves. Or maybe in short, our own self. Self. Here Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, that by the mercies of God you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Here, your bodies, here, it means the inward, the soul, your person, the self, the person inside you, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice. The third one is a strength. And strength here, I think it denotes to us a person's ability or power, his ability or his resources. Strength. To love the Lord with all your strength. And then the final one, you have your mind. Mind is a person, here I would say is a person's capacity to reflect, to understand, to judge, to reason. That is that faculty in us to know, to understand. Someone has put it in just one word, our imagination. So we are to love our Lord with all our heart, our desires, our affections, the will in us, with all our soul, that is the self, the emotions, the feelings, ourself. Sometimes you see we love ourselves. That is the self we are talking about. Our mind, our capacity, our ability, all of us have. And our mind. That part, that faculty in us that's able to think, reflect, ascertain, determine. And here God says that all these together, actually all these four aspects, is one. It belongs to a person. It is part of us, one here together. You can't divide it separately. It's always overlaps, and it constitutes the whole person. And in fact, this is the inner person, the real person. Love the Lord God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. Do you observe that I keep on repeating this? Yes, because I hope by today, for the rest of your life, you'll be thinking, whenever you talk about this, you will remember this morning. This brother Stephen Kuo, he kept on saying this thing. His whole sermon, nothing but love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength and your mind. Yes, I tell it also to myself, that I will never forget this. I must never forget it. Not one moment in my life I should not forget it. Because it's so important. That's why Jesus Christ himself said, it is so important. He told the Jewish, that Jewish scribe, go and do it. Do, and you shall live. If we don't do, we shall not live. Then our life is become meaningless, empty. And so he told the Jewish wife, do, and you shall live. Let's have some biblical examples. Let's have some biblical examples in order to understand, to illustrate this loving God with all my heart, my soul, my strength, and my mind. Because there is a sum total of a person, or personality, myself. All right, let's say, for example, Abraham's servant. You know, in Genesis, there in Genesis 24, there's Abraham's servant. Abraham is quite old already, and then he wanted a bride for Isaac. And he told the servant, you go and look for one. Go to another country of your own clan to get a wife. But he only asked him to promise one thing, that if the girl that you have, if you went to, if you have gone to that place and then the lady you have found and then will not come, all right, then you come back. But you promise me that you will never get another woman from another tribe. So the man says, okay. Here you see the servant promised it, swore. And then the point that here, Abraham left it to him. And so what did he do? You will find that he prepared everything. He had almost 10 camels with all the things, all prepared everything. And on the way, he think, you see, he used his mind. He think of a place. Where did he go? He went to a well, a place here where you know that ladies will come, and then probably it's his better chance of finding someone. So he used his mind. And then when he found, he also, when he found one, when Rebecca came, so he wasn't sure yet. So he also reflect on his mind, observe very carefully whether this is the lady that God has led him. Because before that, he prayed to God. And then, and throughout the conversation, I realized that this was God has answered his prayer. And so he came and talked and everything, and into a sense, and having established that this is the Rebecca is the lady for Isaac, so he said that he must go back quickly. He did say, and then Laban said, no, you stay a little longer. He said, no, I must go back straight away. That's good discerning. You see, here he has the heart, the soul, the might. He prepared everything, you know. Because why? He loved his master, Abraham and Isaac. He did that. Alright, you see here? Very true. The servant served his master because he loved Abraham with his heart, his soul, his strength, and his mind. Another example is that of David. David was fighting with the Philistines who were in control of the city of Bethlehem. One day David was thirsty. He says that he wanted water. He was craving for the water in the well in Bethlehem. But Bethlehem was under the control of the Philistines. And David said, "I would like." Three soldiers of David. David's soldiers says, "All right." They went. They risked their life just to get this water from that well for David. So they went. Why did they go? Because they love who? David. David did so much for them, have led them. And David is a man after God's heart. They have seen the life of David. They have seen his suffering. They have seen this man who really cared for them. But so the point is that they loved him. And they were prepared to risk their life just to get just this water for David to drink, to quench his thirst. Why can't you take any? There's so much water around. All right. They can get water from other wells. Why this particular water? Well, he craved for the water in the well in Bethlehem, but he was in enemy control. I do not know. Maybe David wanted to test whether any one of his soldiers would go there. Anyway, he got his answer. Three of them were willing to risk his life, their lives. And so they went, and they got it. And they gave it to David. Of course, David said that he hasn't got the gumption even to drink that water. He says, "No, it is not for me. I'm not that kind of person." So David here humbled himself before the Lord. He said, "I shouldn't be." And so he poured this water before the Lord. He poured this water before the Lord. That's very oriental, you know. When you want to give anything unto the Lord, you just pour it. Give it unto the Lord. But what I'm saying here, my point is that you have three men here, David's men, who were willing to risk their life to get this water for David. Why? Because they loved David. They looked up to David. They were prepared to do. They loved David. I can see with all their heart, their soul, their strength, and their mind. What about another illustration? Still have time for another illustration. This in the New Testament says something happened. A Pharisee wanted to invite Jesus, or a Pharisee invited Jesus to his house for a meal. And so Jesus obliged. He went to the house, have a meal. After a while, a lady came crying. She cried so profusely that her tears washed the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then because as it wet the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, she used her hair to wipe the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And after that, kissed the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And after that, anointed the Lord Jesus Christ with ointment that's perfumed oil. And the Pharisees say, if the Lord Jesus Christ knew who this woman was, he would have condemned her. But no, the Lord Jesus Christ knew the heart of the Pharisee and then said to him, you know, and then so, anyway, the Lord Jesus Christ gave a little small parable to this man. And then he said to this man, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Here again, answer what the Pharisees thought in his mind with a question. Which one will love him most? And the Pharisee was right, correct. You know, the Pharisee was very good. And he said, of course the one, he says, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. All right, the one who owed 500. Jesus said of the woman, wherefore I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. So why did she came? Why did she come into the Pharisee's house, cry, wiped with his hair, with her hair, kissed her feet, anointed his feet? Why? And she was a sinful man, according to the Pharisee, a prostitute. She must have heard the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ about the forgiveness of sin, believing in him. And she came, and Jesus Christ observed, because she loved Jesus greatly. What about ourselves? Do we not love the Lord Jesus Christ? You have three examples here, you know. Of servants, two are servants. Here you have one, the Abraham servant, and then the David's soldiers. And then here you have a woman who is a prostitute, a sinner. And he loved Jesus most, for our sins are washed away. What about us? How do we consider ourselves? Are we all great sinners? I am. We all are. This is what you and I believe, you know. We must realize this is the truth. Don't just say just academically, intellectually, and say that, yeah, I am saved. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm delivered from the lake of fire. No, I have eternal life. That's very intellectual answer. But the point, important thing is that, do you believe in your heart, in your soul, with all your might and your mind, that truth? It has to be. If you believe that truth, then we should behave like the prostitute who loved the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, even more, because we are living on this side of history, and how God has blessed each one of us. If we are truly born again, yes, and you and I have received, and I can say in my own life, if I were to give you my testimony, that God has blessed me tremendously because he loved me. And requires from us what? That we love him the same. What are some of the practical expressions of loving him? If we love God, whom we cannot see, but it is true, he is there. We must believe that God is there. What are the practical expressions of loving God? Number one, if we love God, we must love something that we can see, that is connected with God. And the first thing is that we must love his word. He already said, so we have his word here. We must love his word. Do you love his word? With all your heart, your soul, your mind, your spirit, because it is God's word? How many times, how often do you read the word of God? Every day? Praise the Lord. Do you study the word of God? I don't know. you may not just read enough. And then even sometimes you read to satisfy your conscience. That's no good. Study, you must study the Word of God. Do you attend morning Bible study? Too early. When rapture comes, please, it doesn't wait for you, you know. You may be halfway shaving and Zoom taken up. Oh Lord, wait, let me shave first. No. Maybe they're doing something else even. You must love. We must love everything that connected with God. Number one here is the Word of God. Next one, the church. We've just heard, we've just read. Jesus Christ shed His precious blood for you and me, you know, for you, for me. Do you ever realize that? You have to realize that. You see, our mind here, we must reflect on this. Jesus Christ came all the way down to die for you, for me. And then He brought us together, this church. Then you must love the church. You must love this church and everyone in this church. Because Christ loved all of you. What is next? His work. Not to sit down here only, but then the work of God. There are two very important work. One is evangelism, and one is to build up, to teach others all that the Lord Jesus Christ has taught us, all that is in His Word. There are two very main things. And so we should every time, whenever God, if we prayed, God will lead us and create that opportunity for us to just introduce the Lord Jesus Christ. God never say that you have the power or give you the power to convert. No, the power belongs to Him. We are only channels of blessing. And just say a word to others. Just say, let me introduce to you Jesus Christ. Because sometimes when you introduce Jesus Christ, well, we might feel ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why should we feel ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ? He's the Son of God, the creator of this universe, who created us. So share, evangelize. Start off with, you know, there's no need for us to speak to a big group. No, I don't think so. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself gave us an example when He spoke, He did personal evangelism. On His way to Galilee, He passed through a Samaria and sat down at a well and he talked to this lady, this Samaritan lady, and how He evangelized him. Same, we are just to spread the news. Neither did God tell you that everyone today, you come out there, you stand there, you catch hold of everyone, let me introduce you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Never, God never say that way. God has put us in various places and each of us has do our part. And the first one you start off with what? Jerusalem, that means our own loved ones first. Our own siblings, our own children. Then our parents, our grandparents. And then we spread. Slowly this. And there are opportunities during festive season. Talk to them. They might be angry with you, never mind. But if they're angry with you and then you show that you smile, you love them, they will change their anger, you see? They will change, definitely. Slowly, through that way, God is the one, the Holy Spirit and God Himself, the one will work in their hearts. And do that. The next thing is what? Build one another up. That means when you come to church, love one another. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32 says, to remove away from us our heart of bitterness, anger against one another. Throw that away. And then in our hearts to forgive one another, love one another, build one another up. That's what we should be. Do that. Why you do all these things? For whose sake? For Christ's sake. Why? The greatest force or motivation is what? Loving God is God. To love Him with all my heart, my soul, my strength, and my mind. Jesus Christ knew this. Apostle Peter. In his moment of weakness, he denied the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times. In his moment of weakness. And he repented. And the Lord Jesus Christ so graciously appeared to him and restored him. What did Jesus Christ say to him? What did he ask him? He did not. Jesus Christ did not remind him. Did not remind him regarding his weakness, his denial. Jesus Christ asked only one question, right? You all know. Jesus Christ asked Peter, "Do you love me?" All right, he says, he used the word agape, the highest form of love. For God so loved the word agape, the word. So Jesus Christ says, "Peter, you agape me?" And Peter says, "You know, you know." And then, "So feed my lambs." Then Jesus Christ asked again, say, "Agape me?" And then Jesus, actually, Peter used the lower form of love. Instead of using agape, "Lord, you know that I love you." Phileo, that's a lower form. After 2 times he said phileo, Jesus Christ, he said agape, he said phileo, agape, he said phileo. And then the Lord Jesus Christ, the 3rd time, said, "Okay, phileo, you really phileo me?" Oh Lord, he said, gave up. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know my heart." And so the Lord Jesus Christ says, "You love me, whether agape or phileo me, you love me, feed my lambs." If we love the Lord with all our heart, our soul, our strength, our mind, then we want to do the work of God. We want to do the will of God. Now, what is the greatest obstacle that will prevent us from loving the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, our strength, our mind? What is the greatest? The greatest obstacle is actually in the second commandment. Someone has taught us, say, you must love your neighbor as yourself. Say, you must not love yourself first before you can love your neighbor. That's a devil's lie. That's a devil's lie. I ever heard of that when I was a young Christian. Until today, it bugs me. And that's a devil's lie. In fact, that is the greatest obstacle. When we love ourselves, we turn actually the commandment upside down. God we cannot see, the neighbor we can see. And ourselves we know, we put the second commandment the first, and the first commandment second, we turn it upside down. And I think that is the greatest obstacle, because we love ourselves more, and we look at people, we fear them more. That is why we are in this state. We cannot love the Lord more. I know. Do you know that? This is very true. We see recently what happened in Christian circles. Why do Christians treat one another like this? Because they love themselves more. Because they look at other people, they fear that people. These other people. They look up to other people. What about God? Oh, they can recite to you, "I love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy strength, and thy mind." They can recite that. But in actual practice, I come first. Self come first and fear man first. Why are some empty seats? Because sometimes a family left to go to another church. Why? Because another friends have left to their church. If you go to another church, and if that church is Bible believing, teaching the word of God, okay, fine. But that's still not very good, because the moment you leave, you hurt other people. In the first place, you have prayed, and the Lord has led you here, and you remained here, and you serve here. And just because you don't like somebody's face here, not only I'm talking about this church, also in other churches, even in my church also, in Bethel. Just because you don't like another person's face, after some time you have some quarrel, you don't like the person's face, you leave. Why don't you come? I come every Sunday, I look at the person's face. I see so many faces, why you cannot see, must see this person's face. You see? Myself first. No, if you love the Lord God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, or your strength, your mind, then you will learn how. Bitterness, anger, you remove, and you learn to forgive, and love, and care, and build up. And when you leave, you hurt other people, you cause other people to stumble. So don't put the second commandment up, and then the first commandment down. Turn it back, and everything falls into place. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy strength, and thy mind. May God have mercy on us and bless us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your precious word. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins. We plead once again for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse us from all our iniquities. Turn us round, O Lord, to love you indeed with all our whole being and offer ourselves a living sacrifice unto you. This is our reasonable service, our love for you, Lord. Glorify and honor you and to do your work. I pray, Father, for your blessings upon this church. Unite them all together with one spirit, one mind, one heart to do your work. Teach us always to love one another, forgive one another. Pray, Father, that we will go out, lay a burden for lost souls, that we will go out and bring the people to hear your word. And in hearing, they might believe and be saved to the praise and glory of your name. This we pray, we ask, giving you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.